Well, Pastor Sue is with us because our children's workers are getting a well-deserved break for these couple of weeks. Now, next Sunday, the services in the Heritage Hour will begin once again, and our children's ministries will begin. Very interesting for our week of prayer. I think it's neat the way that the Lord has set it up this year. Our week of prayer goes from 7 to 11. 7 to 11, which is Monday to Friday. And then on Friday, we have an 11-7, which is our all-night prayer meeting. So you can see in the spa connection, you can see the outline for January. Please take note that this week, we do have our New Year's Eve service, but then we're closed on the Tuesday and the Wednesday in the church office. So please do note that in the spa connection. The office will be opening Thursday morning. But just want you to take a look at all of the things that are coming up in January. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you've never followed the Lord in the obedience of water baptism, we're having a water baptism service at the end of the month, next month, and you'll be able to walk through the waters of baptism. And I want to challenge you as we're coming into a new year that as you take new steps of obedience with God, God will step towards you. He'll rush towards you as you take new steps of obedience towards Him. And so thanks for taking note of all of those things. Today, after the service, please remember, if you're coming to the New Year's Eve party tomorrow and you haven't registered, there will be people in the Welcome Center that can help you. There's a list there that we need to know how many are coming. And if you're our guest today, we'd love to meet with you just after in the Connection Cafe. You can meet with us there immediately following today's service. A new and living way. Now, parents, you're here and you're seated with your children, and aren't we glad to have the children? The children are being so good. Let's give our kids a hand that are in the house today. Yeah. And, you know, if sometimes through the next number of minutes some of the children make some noises, just remember that Jesus loves the little children, all right? But parents, you're going to be able to have an opportunity to explain communion today, because at the end of this message, we're going to be remembering the Lord's Supper. And so this is a great opportunity for you moms and dads, you know, as you go home today, just to talk about what we've done and to let your children, you know, be aware of what this celebration means. A new and living way has been prepared for each and every one of us that are sitting in this auditorium this morning. And this new and living way, it goes along with the fact that we're entering into a brand new year, 2019. And here's the question I want us to consider. Can 2019, it's going to be a new year. It's going to be a new year. But can 2019 be a newer year? Can 2019 be a newer year? Can it be more new for you? Can 2019 be a newer year? For sure it can, but it's up to you and it's up to I. It's up to how we respond to this new and living way that has been prepared for us. So I'd like to look at four things very quickly this morning about this new and living way, and I'm praying that God will once again drop some light bulbs into our hearts and into our minds, drop some fresh thoughts into our own individual lives as we enter into a year that is new, that it will be made newer. You know, this morning we had a message in tongues and an interpretation in tongues, and it said, don't remember the former things. And we're thankful for the fact that we're a church where we welcome the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't focus on those things of the past, but look forward to the new things that God wants to do. So we all have the capacity to receive a new and living way, first of all, through the coming of Christ. And this is what we've been focusing on at Christmas. The angel said, don't be afraid. And I want you to circle those three words, don't be afraid, in your notes. Now, would you say those, please, with me? Don't be afraid. The other translations might say, fear not. But this new and living way that has come to you enables you not to be afraid. If you understand the coming of Christ, there's no way that the new year will be newer if you don't get what the coming of Christ is all about. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor. Would you please say favor? You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him, and say his name with me, please. You'll name him Jesus. Listen. A new and living way has come to you, And you no longer need to be afraid because you have found favor with God. If you believe that, say amen. You see, the same thing that happened to Mary has happened to those of us who are in Christ. We have found favor with God. And the word favor, you need to understand what it means. It's the word charis in the Greek. And it means, now check this out. This is what happened to Mary, but this is also what happened because of the coming of Christ to you. Christmas is not a once a year holiday for us. If you understand the coming of Christ and you understand the good news and you're no longer afraid, and if you understand that favor is on your life, favor means grace. It means the divine influence upon the heart. When you understood for the first time that Christ came, there was a divine influence that came upon your heart. It's reflection in the life. So it's not only a one-time thing, but it affects your heart. It reflects through your life, and it includes these things: gratitude, gift, joy, liberality, thanksgiving, benefit, and pleasure. And so a new and living way has come to you through the coming of Christ. You have favor with God. And understand this about the coming of Christ. This is the crystal clear reason why Christ came. Jesus Christ came to deal with our sinful nature. He came because we have this malfunction in our hearts because of sin, because of Adam and Eve. Joseph, son of David, and we're focusing still on Christmas. Joseph, son of David, he said again, "Do not be afraid." Would you please circle those four words? And now would you say those four words with me, please? Do not be afraid. I'll tell you something. When you understand why Christ came, something happens to your heart. Something happens to your life. Something happens to your perspective. You do no longer need to be afraid because God is with you. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him. Would you say his name, please? And here's why he's coming. He'll save his people from their sins. If you're glad about that Christmas present, say amen. I mean, this is why he came. He came because of our heart condition. He came because we need a change on our inner computer chip. There's a virus that's going to kill us unless we receive the gift of Christ. He came to deal with our sinful nature. That's this new and living way that came to us through the coming of Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only solution to our problem. There is no other solution. We can't do it by giving. We can't do it by sacrifice. We can't do it by trying to be good. We can't do it by trying to be good community people, a good mom, a good dad, a good boy. No. The only way that we're going to have this situation dealt with in our lives is by allowing Christ to have full reign in our hearts. You see, the wise men knew that. And the wise men sought him from afar. Now, every one of you that are here that are not Jewish people by birth, I mean, God sought you out from afar. So wherever you came, you are grafted into the promises. And in this coming of Christmas, we understand that Jesus Christ is the only solution to our problem. The book of Acts puts it like this: there's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Now, true, there are many religions. That's true. True, there are many religious beliefs. True, there are many people who say that all pathways lead to God. But listen to me, friends. Here's why Christ came. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, lived the perfect sinless life, died on the cross, and rose from the grave, and he's alive today, and nobody else was able to do that because Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of the true and the living God. He's the only solution to our problem. There is no other way that we can have this new and living way. Now, so for many of you, you've received this gift of salvation. Many of you did it when you were 8 or 9 or 12 or 14, or maybe even when you were 20 or 30. You've received this gift of salvation. But if you want this new year to be newer, there needs to be something that goes on that causes us to understand the depth of what Christ committed to us for and what we committed to Christ for. And through the coming of Christ, God has called us to share this message of salvation with everyone. And so when you sacrifice for the cause of missions, let me tell you something. You are investing in the kingdom of heaven at an interest rate that is going to blow your mind for all of eternity. God has called you and I to share this message of salvation with everybody. It says this, he's enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. So in this new year, your ministers, every one of you that's named the name of Jesus Christ, he's called you to be a minister. He's equipped you to be a minister. He's put his spirit upon you. Look at what it says. This is a covenant not written with laws, but of the spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the spirit gives life. And it goes on to say that where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So I want to ask you a question as a Christian today. Are you happy with the liberty that you're finding in your life? If not, then you need to fully and in a fresh way understand this new and living way that has come through the coming of Christ. This new and living way also comes to us through the commitment of Christ. If we're going to have a newer year this year, we're going to need to understand the commitment that Christ made to us. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. And it says, I didn't have room just to put it on the insert, but it says this wasn't with things like silver and gold, things like that people value, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. How many of you here received a Christmas present this year? How many received a Christmas present? How many of you never received a Christmas present? Good, we would look after you right after the service. This new and living way, it's come to you through the commitment of Christ. And I want you to see that God chose him. You know, if you picked a present for someone, you thought of that person. You thought of what do they need. You went out and you thought, what would they like? What would be useful in their life? And you were so excited when you went out and when you picked that present and you wrapped it up and you put their name on it. And then they opened it up and you were thrilled when they received it. Listen, God chose him as your ransom. You know when? Long before the world even began. Long before the world even started, God saw you. This new and living way has come to you through the commitment of Jesus Christ. And John tells us that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. When John saw Jesus coming to him to be baptized, it says the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Christmas carol that we sang says it like this. Born, why was Jesus born? He was born to raise the sons of earth. He was born to give them second birth. He was born to die. He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. That's the commitment of Christ. The whole Old Testament talked about the need for blood sacrifice in order to cover over sin. And there was a lamb once a year on the Day of Atonement that would be slain, and the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and there the blood of the lamb, a spotless lamb, would be spilt over the mercy seat. And for 1 year, the sins of God's people would be covered. But Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the sinless one. And when he came and when he sacrificed his life, our sins were not covered, but our sins were taken away. You see, this new and living way has come through the commitment of Jesus Christ. Would you please say that word commitment? And again? And once again? That's not a popular word today. Talk to me about giving me. Like, talk to me about grace. Talk to me about love. Talk to me about gift. But don't talk to me about commitment. Well, I'll tell you something. If you want the year to be newer, you're going to need to understand the commitment of Jesus Christ and this. We must never lose sight of God's call on our lives. We're talking about the commitment of Jesus Christ to you. You see, Jesus called you, he purchased you, he redeemed you for a purpose. He set his hand on you and his touch on you for a purpose. And we must never lose sight of God's call on our lives. You know, there was a time in the life of Jesus with his disciples when he asked his disciples, he said, who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some say that you're one of the prophets. Some say that you're a teacher. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? And this is the question that we need to answer to be saved. Thou art, you know it. Would you say it with me? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, who made that confession of who he is. See, the Bible says this, with the heart, man believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, he said, listen, you didn't just think this up, but God revealed this to you. This came to you by the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus went on to explain how that he was going to have to die, how that he was going to have to give up his life. And Peter, who just had been commended in front of all of the disciples, Peter took Jesus aside and said, no, Jesus, like you can't die. You've come to deliver us. You've come to save us. You're going to be our king. And then Jesus said this to Peter, get away from me, Satan, to Peter. Now, look at this. You're a dangerous trap to me. I want you to know something, friends. The coming of Christ, he has a commitment that he's made to you. And when you said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, you made a commitment to him. You said, I will give you my life. I will not be the Lord. You will be my Lord. You will make my decisions. Peter said, Jesus, you can't die. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now listen, you still have an enemy who's roaming around. The Bible says, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The enemy wants to steal away that purpose for which Christ has committed himself to you and that you are to be committed to him for. We are living in this world and there's going to be things that are going to pull at our heart and pull at our affections and pull at our attentions. And this is what Jesus said to Peter. You're seeing things just from a human point of view. Do you know, friends, sometimes even as Christians, we see things, or we're tempted to see things from a human point of view, not from God's. And it's interesting that after Jesus Christ was baptized by John, after he was baptized, it says, immediately he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted and where he was tested by the devil. And do you know what the devil was trying to do with Jesus? The devil was trying to get him to to get the world, if you will, without going to the cross. And you must, if you want the year to be newer, if you want the year to be full, if you want the new year to be really new as a Christian for you, do you know what you're going to have to, you're going to have to realize? You're going to have to realize that you're going to have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. You're going to have to realize that when the enemy is pulling at your carnal nature, when the enemy is pulling at your lower affections, when the enemy is pulling at you and asking you to invest your life in this way, you're going to have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. And you know what's the only way that you're going to be able to do that? If you get behind me, Jesus. The only way, you see, you're going to yield to one of two things in this life. You're going to yield to God, or you're going to yield to the flesh and to the devil. Even as a Christian, you're going to know a great measure of victory in God as you yield to him, or you're going to not know victory. Like, you'll still be saved, but you're not going to know the victory that Christ was committed to you for. And the only way that you're going to find what God's call is on your life is to get behind me, Jesus. Get behind Jesus. I like that little wristband, WWJD. You see, when you understand the commitment of Christ and when you get behind him, when you get behind Jesus, it's there that we find liberty as we live and love for Christ. It's there that we find joy. Listen, don't look to this world to give you joy. I'm so excited, Sarah, that you're having children. Children! Not child, but children. But I have to say something, Sarah and Pastor Karsten. Don't look to these two beautiful girls to bring you joy. I mean, they will. Some of you young people, good-looking young people, that don't yet have a mate, don't look for your mate to give you joy. I mean, they will. But if you want fullness of joy, if you want to know this year what Christ has come to give to you, you're going to have to find a new liberty by committing afresh to Him all that you are and all that you have. The Bible put it like this: you must love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. John said it this way: I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love. Listen to me, friends. The commands of God are not burdensome for us. The commands of God bring us life. I mean, there's times we're pulled down to a lesser thing. We just need to say, Jesus, I'm getting behind you. Lord, I'm resisting the devil and I'm fleeing. And here's what God's promised. In the moment of temptation, when you resist the devil, God will provide a way of escape to you so you can have liberty and you can have life. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I obey in my Father's commandments and remain in your love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled, would you please say filled, with my joy. And more than anything, today and in 2019, I want you to know what my prayer is for you. I pray that you will be filled with His joy. And it's not going to happen unless you understand the commitment that Christ made to you and make the same kind of commitment to Him. If you believe that, say amen. So God, show us how. This new and living way, thirdly, has come to us through the cross of Christ. This is what Satan was trying to avoid. This is the great price that Jesus paid. And you know, people came to follow Jesus for many different reasons. Some people came to follow Jesus because they had a son or a daughter that was born crippled or born blind or couldn't see, or sometimes they had children that were demon-possessed, and you know, they wanted Jesus to heal them. And because of who Jesus was, the Son of God and is, He healed them. He healed them all. In fact, the only place where you find a bit of a quandary about Jesus being able to do miracles was in His hometown. It says in His hometown He couldn't do much there because of their unbelief. Listen now, we need to believe. But people follow Jesus. I mean, some people follow Jesus so that they have food in their belly. You know, they wanted to have food. And you know, even when Jesus was on the cross, they said to Him, come on down there off the, show us a sign, Jesus. Show us a sign and you know, we'll believe if you show us a sign. And today people follow Jesus for the same reason. Jesus, I'll follow you if you meet my needs. Lord, I'll follow you if you heal my leg. God, I'll follow you if you heal my marriage. God, I'll follow you if you do this. I'll follow you if you... Listen to me, friends. We don't follow Jesus because of what He can do for us. We follow Christ because of who He is. He is King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And this new and living way has come to us through the cross of Christ. And you know, when there were a whole bunch of people following Jesus for all kinds of reasons, He said this to the crowd: anybody can follow me. Any one of you. If you want to be my follower, this is what you need to do. You must turn from your selfish ways. How many of you think that that's easy? I don't know about you. It's not easy for me. It's not easy for me to turn from my selfish ways, but I want to be His follower. You must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross. How often? Circle that, please. Any one of you can follow Jesus. Any one of you. But you must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross daily. You know, when Jesus was going to the cross, you remember this prayer that He prayed to the Father 3 times? Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And it says he was under such duress. He said to His disciples, guys, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Come here, help me, watch with me, stay with me. And what did the disciples do? They fell asleep. Jesus tells us, watch and pray so that you don't give in to temptation. In this new year, friends, watch and pray so you don't give in to temptation. Because if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. Now, if you want your year to be truly newer, you need to understand a couple of things. I think you know this, but to understand it in a better way. As far as Jesus is concerned with this appeal to the cross, the first are going to be, and the last are going to be. And as far as Jesus is talking here, when it comes to this cross, the greatest in this world are going to be the, and the least down here are going to be the, you see, that's the cross. You know what the cross does? The cross doesn't come and say, well, this is what I think and this is what I should do. The cross comes into a situation looking for the towel. The cross doesn't come into a place thinking, where is the servant? The cross understands I'm the servant. If you're going to know in a greater way, in a more real way, the life of Jesus in this new year, understand that this new and living way comes to you through the cross of Christ. And we've received a new and living way through Jesus, through the cross. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. When my kids were younger, I told the staff in the office, when my blinds are closed, no phone calls except my family. I mean, anytime, if any of my family calls, just it doesn't matter who's there, just straight in. I mean, but I can only entertain one or two things at a time, maybe three, depending how big they are. But God can entertain everything. God can entertain everything in your life, every situation in your life, every circumstance in your life, every question in your life. There's a new and living way as you live the cross life that you have access to through the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something, friends, what our honor is, our highest honor in life, is to carry out the work of God. As you walk down the pathway of your life, you know what I pray you see? These are telephone poles, but I just pray you see the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. And let me tell you something. If you're walking on a pathway as a Christian and you don't see the cross, you'd better take a turn because you're on the wrong road. We have the highest honor in our lives of carrying out the work of God. Paul put it like this, from jail. For me, you know what living means? It means living for Jesus. And dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. And God has called you to be his laborers. God has called you to be his workers. God has called you and gifted you to be those who share this cross life with the world. And finally, this new and living way comes through the celebration of Christ. In a moment, we're going to be receiving, it's really just a cup and a piece of bread. But this is what Jesus says to you this morning. I'm longing to eat this meal with you. I am longing to eat this meal with you. He's alive. He's here. The Bible says where two or three people gather, I am there. And on this last Sunday of 2018, Jesus is longing to eat this meal with you. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people. It's an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me. And so in a moment, we're going to hold on to the bread, which represents the broken body of Jesus. And the Bible says, by his stripes you're healed. And the cup that represents the blood that was shed once for all. Once for all. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, cleanses us from every sin. And I'll tell you something. I don't know if you've noticed this. You know, sometimes when we don't focus on this book, sometimes we see people. I mean, it might be people in our families. It could be our mom or our dad. It could be our wife or our husband. It could be our children. It could be people, you know, in our workplace. It could be people in the church. Sometimes when we're not looking at this book properly, you know, we just see so many things wrong in so many people. Like, there's just so many things wrong. If my wife would just change, if my kids would just change, if my boss at work, if he'd just change, you know, those friends of mine, if they'd just change. But you know what happens when we look at the book? Jesus Christ thrives in our lives through self-examination. He thrives. When you're talking about celebrating Jesus, you want to make your year newer? Look in the book and look at what it says. This text says, that's why you should examine everybody else before you eat the bread. That's why you should examine your sons and your daughters, your neighbors, your workmates, What does it say? That's why you should examine yourself. Examine yourself. And parents, this is what you can talk to your children about. You know, because I know that some of the children, they won't partake, but they'll be saying, what was that? Well, it's about celebrating what Jesus did. That's why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. And, you know, I'm so happy my mom is here with me, and I came down from my sleep last night, dressed here just like this. And, you know, my mom, she said, wow, you look good this morning. And I said, oh, I just woke up like this. I just didn't even take a shower today. Aren't you glad that we have mirrors? Aren't you glad? You know, sometimes you look in the mirror, you go, whoa, glad I didn't go out without looking in that mirror. James talks about the Bible as a mirror. That God would let us see ourselves. And that when God says something to us, and today, when you're holding on to this cup and to this piece of bread, examine yourself. The Bible is like a mirror, and it says when we see something in ourselves that we say, God, help me. God, change me. That's the celebration of Christ. He thrives in our lives through self-examination. And Christ comes to others by the Savior's exaltation. Oh, it's going to be a glorious day, friends, when we stand around the throne of heaven and where there will be people gathered from every tribe and every language and every nation giving praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning during this Christmas season and you've heard about Jesus, but you've never personally unwrapped the gift of Christ, do you know you can do it right now? You can do it right now as God is moving on your heart. You can say, Jesus, come into my life. I give you my life, Lord. And then you'll hold on to these emblems. Jesus said this, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw everyone to myself. And you know these things that we're doing in our church, these equipment upgrades that we're doing that cost a significant amount of money. Do you want to know why we're not doing them? We're not doing them so we can have a show in this building. We're doing them so we can exalt the Lord Jesus Christ better. We're doing these things so that we can make the name of Jesus known more clearly. And Christ comes to others when we lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And as we're celebrating Jesus Christ, this new and living way, we need to understand that Jesus Christ's new commandment shines for every nation. You know what's going to win the world? This. Love each other. Love each other. Just as I have loved you. Now, if you're going to love each other, do you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to forgive. Do you remember Jesus on the cross? As they were saying, Jesus, show us a sign, spitting on his face, mocking him and taunting him. Do you remember what Jesus said? Father, forgive them. In some of your families, you know what you need to say? Father, forgive him. Father, forgive her. You know what you need to say? Father, forgive me. Let me make it right, Lord. You know how Christ's new commandment is going to shine out? Love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Would you pray with me, please? God, I pray that something I've said today about a new and living way would spark some fresh things in our lives as your children as we walk into the year 2019. Thank you that we've received a new and living way through the coming of Christ. We've celebrated that over Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for the commitment of Jesus Christ, that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And Lord, even as we hold these emblems in a moment, let our commitment be refreshed. Thank you, Father, for the cross of Christ. And help us, Lord. We can't do this on our own, but help us to deny our selfish ways and help us to learn to take up our cross every day and follow you. And now, Lord, we thank you that you long to eat this meal with us. You long to eat this meal with us. So I ask, as we celebrate your life, your death, and your coming again in these emblems, that you would draw near to our hearts in Jesus' name. Those who are serving us are coming in at this time. And as you're served, would you just hold on to these? We're going to reflect on the Lord as we sing this song, and then we'll partake together in just a moment's time. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? Well, I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. We're going to sing it again on that first verse, and I hope today that in a real way that you're at the cross. I can remember, you know, growing up as a kid, I went every week to the Anglican church, and I thank God for that heritage in my life. And every other week, we would have what was called Holy Communion, where we would go and receive communion. And the other week was morning prayer, they called it. But I have to tell you the truth. There were too many times as a young person that when the priest brought the chalice over with the bread, that I just took the bread and chewed it down, and I out of the chalice I took a drink. I just didn't get it, you know? But I can remember after giving my life to Jesus, I was sitting right about there, right about where you're sitting this morning. And I was holding on to that cup, to that bread, and I understood something. He did it for me. Like, God sent His Son for me. Do you understand that this morning? If there was just you, Jesus Christ would have came. That's how important your eternal soul is. And I held on to that, to the cup and the bread. And there were tears as they're welling up in my eyes this morning, thank God. But there were tears, I mean, flowing down my cheeks. Because I understood that Jesus loves me. And more than anything, friends, this morning, before we partake, can we understand afresh the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus? He's made a new and living way possible for us. As we sing this first verse, can you go to the cross? Just you. Forget about who's next door. just you, and sing, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain, the searing loss. The Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold, behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. Well, it was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished, and I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and His resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? Well, I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have been my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. Lord, we're at the table. We're at the table with Jesus. And now we're not examining anybody else. Forgive us, Lord. It's so easy to see specks in other people's lives when there's logs and boards in our own. So we hold on to this emblem of the body. And we remember what you said. Every time that you eat of this, I want you to remember my body, which was broken for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the stripes that you bore. By your stripes, we are healed. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we, who are many members, form one loaf. We are one body. And Lord, I just ask you that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, as your body, to love one another as you have loved us. Because if we love one another this way, then the whole wide world's going to know that we are your disciples. Let's partake of the bread, please. And it was after supper. After supper, he took the cup. That cup, Lord. You said, God, there's got to be another way. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Oh, but God, not what I will. Father, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Is it possible? God, is there any other way? Is there any other way, Lord? But not my will. Oh God, help me. Father, Father, is there any other way that this can be accomplished? God, please. And an angel came and strengthened him. And then on the cross, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? And he breathed his last. This cup, Lord, cost you everything. Everything. Oh, Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, when we think the blood of Jesus is just so we can go to heaven and live our lives the way that we want to. It's not that. It's through the blood of Jesus that we've been forgiven, that we've been cleansed, that we've been made new, that we've been given a new heart and a new life. And God, I pray for my life that 2019 will be newer. It's going to be a new year. It's going to be a new year. But I'm asking you, Lord, for this congregation. And I'm praying for anybody that's here from another congregation this morning, maybe another city. But they've sat under this message today, and it's been as clear as I can make it. Jesus, you've done everything you could do to bring us a new and living way. I'm praying for me. Let 2019 be newer. I'm praying at Spa for Life. Let 2019 be newer. I'm praying for every Christian that's in this room from another church in another city. Let 2019 be newer. And I'm saying that I can't do it without you, Lord. I can't do it without you. But I want to thank you that through Christ we can do all things. And so after supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant given for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins." Every time you drink of it, I want you to remember my blood that was given for you. Let's partake of the cup.